You're listening to Valley Edition. I'm Laura Satsui. Next week, the Youth Leadership Institute's policy journal, Calafia, hits the newsstands. Youth Leadership Institute, or YLI, is an organization with offices across the state where staff work to empower youth and help them shape policy and create media. The annual journal is produced by fellows, one from each office. This year's journal takes the shape of a magazine about intersectional feminism, with pieces written, photographed, and designed by the young woman on the editorial board. In the studio, we have two of the board's members, 17-year-old Rachel Livenall of Merced and 18-year-old Maria Torres from Fresno. We're also speaking with Michael Lozano, the publication's editor. And so, Maria and Rachel, you both were part of the editorial board. And we should note, Maria, your mentor was our own Carrie Klein here. But your piece is entitled, This is What It's Like to Walk in Public as a Woman. You talked about the experiences of four young adult women who are constantly aware of their surroundings for their safety and various reasons. Reading it, it was interesting and a little distressing for me that what the women you profiled have experienced. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like to meet them and get their experiences out on the page?
So these four women I know personally. I think the most shocking one was Angelique, because she had like much more stressful and like intense situations. Like she got catcalled with her younger sisters and cousins. She got yelled at by grown men. It was a very hard subject and a hard subject to talk about and write about.
And I think that's what makes it all the more important to talk about, right? I think you kind of concluded all of your mini profiles, I might call them, with what they felt could be done to mitigate this issue of like street harassment, right? Some of them said, if you see something, say something. And so being that you knew these people personally and having kind of known them over time, do you feel like, or do they feel like this issue has gotten better or will get better?
I believe all of them, like deep down, they have hope that it will get better little by little. But then again, it will take a lot of like commitment and actually trying to get better. Because sometimes people just don't care and will say whatever they want, even if it like hurts someone personally, emotionally, verbally. Some people are just like that.
So I guess that's why it's really important that you were able to write about it and bring light to that topic, right? So, and then, Rachel, I want to turn to you. You profiled a model who, I want to point out, doesn't identify as trans, but was born a boy and identifies as a woman. I want to play a clip of the first time your subject, Erin, wore a dress to school.
After a rally, I had my cheer uniform, and I was like, hey, I need to change. So I went to the bathroom and I put on a dress and I walked into class and everyone just looked at me.
A teen's worst nightmare, but Erin held a different mindset.
I just felt so comfortable and I was just so happy with what I was wearing. You know, nothing really mattered, just myself, and it felt great.
So we just heard from Erin, who you profiled. Rachel, you had to explain how she's had both support for her identity, but also lives in a fairly conservative area, and so it's also a little challenging. When you were writing this and talking to her, was that a difficult balance to strike?
I think it really was, because I wanted to show both the side that she was giving me and also the side that I felt like the world needed to hear. But not insert any bias into it. And so, yeah, I think it was really hard to ask the right questions and get the right answers. But ultimately, you know, she gave me really good answers, and that was what helped form this story.
Mm-hmm. And you were both women reporting on women, and I want to mention this publication was all about women in all kinds of different capacities. Going into reporting this project, did you know immediately, you know, once you were picked, what you wanted to write about?
It mainly took a lot of thinking, like what happens a lot in Fresno, and because we're all over the state, so, and a lot of our pieces are about things that are particularly happening in our city. And one thing that I do notice sometimes was catcalling. And I wanted to write about that. And interviewing my friends, first of all, shocked me, because I was texting all of my girls, seeing if any of them had experience. And then when they said yes, I was like, oh, really?
And you were surprised.
Yes. And I think that's what needs, because the main thing that needs to be shared, like stories, are stories that are shocking. Stories that we didn't think were happening. And I wanted to like share stories of these four girls who, first of all, shocked me. I wanted to share their stories because people need to hear about it. People need to realize that this is an issue that is happening in Fresno.
Rachel, did you know that you wanted to write a profile of someone who doesn't identify as a trans teen, but by many people would probably consider them a trans woman?
That actually was not what I intended at first. I actually had a story pitch for a completely different idea surrounding dress code in Merced. And then that didn't really pan out. My sources didn't really get back to me, so I had to come up with a backup. And I actually found out about Erin through reaching out to her because I thought, oh, you know, she's a very interesting character in this whole dress code thing. And then, yeah, I mean, I thought maybe she'd identify as trans, but when she told me, yeah, I'm not comfortable with that, I was like, okay, I can see that. And I thought, well, you know, like, that's a little difficult because a lot of people don't really, like, understand that. But at the same time, it was like, you know, this is still interesting. This makes it that much more interesting, you know?
Mm. Her own unique story is unique in and of itself, right?
Yeah.
So the stories, Rachel and Maria, that you told aren't the only ones in this magazine. There's also stories about farm laborers, bisexuality, music, the list goes on. But Michael, this is the first time the Youth Policy Journal has been a magazine. Why did you guys pick that medium for this year?
We wanted something that would be visually appealing to young folks and older folks as well. And it just seemed like the right time to do it because we really wanted to make sure that we published something that would withstand time, that would be more, easily seen on newspaper and magazine stands at different stores and cafes and things like that. And I think there's something special about a magazine in terms of the artistic approach that we can take. And so, getting good photos, having a good design layout was really helpful in like being able to help tell these stories so that like when people read these impactful stories, they really feel like they're there.
And Rachel and Maria, I'm curious, can we expect to read more stories from you? Are you interested in writing even more? Rachel, how about you start?
Yes, I am. Right now, I'm really passionate about audio. So I've just been trying to do a lot of audio pieces. And yeah, I hope to do this like as a career. So
very cool. Maria, what about you?
When I first joined Wiley, I didn't expect to be that into journalism, but surprisingly I am. But I'm more into like art stuff, so I like creating comics. I created our cover page of Calafia and the cover page of this year of the Nose Youth Media.
So it sounds like we've got some multimedia journalists on our hands, which is great. Well, we've been speaking to Maria Torres and Rachel Livenall, students and now published writers, whose work is in the latest Calafia magazine, and Michael Lozano, who edited that production. Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.